It's time for Wheel Nerds. And here are your hosts, Chuck and Todd.
Hi, and welcome to Wheel Nerds. This is episode 25. I'm Todd.
And I'm Chuck.
We're going to be talking about motorcycles
and autoerotic asphyxiation.
Asphyxiation.
Whatever.
You can't even do it right.
Asphyxiation.
Asphyxiation.
I spent many, many years in language pronunciation classes.
And I'm helping more.
I know. I can't. I have a speech impediment.
Okay.
I'm very sensitive
about it. It's true. You do have one of the worst cases of Chuck I've ever seen in my life.
Asphyxiation.
Has?
Maybe it's a dialect thing. Maybe it's an accent thing. Maybe this is the Southern California accent coming through. Do I make fun of your Eastern accent?
Let's go surfing, bro.
Let's go asphyxiate, dude, bra.
That was convincing. That was good. I think you'd blend right in on a beach.
Shut up.
I bought it.
I hate you so much. I want to bring back...
It's good to be back.
I want to bring back fake Todd. Fake Todd was nicer. Damn it. You belong in Seattle.
Still waiting to find out on that one.
Yeah, well, you know, welcome back.
Thanks. It's good to be back.
Yeah, back here in the closet.
I was... Yeah, I had to make myself feel better in Seattle by drinking beer and eating hummus. So I get to Seattle late, and all the restaurants are closed because it's like 10:30.
Right, because everything shuts down in
Seattle. Well, the bars and clubs don't, but around my hotel, like any place I could get like a basic meal and then go to bed, yeah. Forget it. Yeah. Not going to happen.
Not Denny's anywhere?
No, at least not that I could find.
Wow.
But I found like a Quickie Mart, so I got like a hummus and pretzel thing and like ate that and drank a beer in my hotel room and went to sleep.
Crying himself to sleep.
Crying myself to sleep. The one cool thing about this hotel room is it had a one of those electric shades where there's a switch on the wall and you click the switch and it clicks up and then it'll start going up on its own, you know, like all the way up.
Yeah.
And it was on the 19th floor overlooking the center of the city. You never really get tired of standing in front of it with your arms behind your back going... As it slowly opens up.
He was naked while he was doing that.
Soon, Seattle.
Very naked.
Yeah.
The housekeeping was wondering what those weird imprints on the glass was.
I will moon that entire apartment building. This has got to be some kind of record.
Oh, Lord. Well, to celebrate you coming back, I have a surprise.
Okay.
Listener Craig sent in an idea for us to have some adventure food.
Adventure food.
Made right here in Utah. It's not Pringles.
What the hell?
This is adventure food.
It is the quick and tasty canwich.
Peanut butter and grape jelly.
The go anywhere sandwich, in case you were having trouble transporting sandwiches.
Candy surprise inside.
Oh, there's candy inside. That's good. Yeah.
We're going to eat these.
We're going to eat the canwich.
For you, Craig.
So just to give you the feel of the thing, it's coming in like one of those cardboard spirally cans like Pringles and has a...
it's like a Pringles can.
Yeah, pull tab on the top of it.
You ready to do this?
Yeah, let's
this has got to be thing. Better than the adventure liquor.
Yeah, this is probably true.
It's got extended shelf life. It's like opening tennis balls.
Yeah. That's what it feels like. A tennis ball can.
Okay. Smell that.
Oh, there's...
Adventure.
It smells like tennis balls inside. And there's a...
Laffy Taffy.
Why is there a knife?
You got a knife? I got Laffy Taffy.
I think I got that.
And a hot dog bun.
Stuck.
And a plastic knife.
Wait a minute. This isn't...
What is this?
This is a... What the hell?
What is this?
I was expecting a sandwich.
This is a
sandwich kit.
Yeah, a sandwich. The ultimate. It's a little squeeze thing of peanut butter and a squeeze thing of grape jelly and a hot dog bun.
Come
out.
Damn it.
You're stuck.
Oh, yeah, there's a Laffy Taffy.
That's why you need the plastic knife.
I was expecting, like, a sandwich to fill the can. I was...
Oh,
I was,
crap.
What?
I broke my sandwich.
Chuck cannot be trusted with knives, evidently.
I broke my sandwich.
So, a few of the things that they talk about are they have extended shelf life. They're great for school lunch. Unless your kid is Chuck. Kids love them.
Yeah, you give this to your kid to take to school, and he's coming home with a black eye.
It's a distinct possibility.
What's that smell?
I don't know.
It's kind of...
I think it's the bread. Bread actually doesn't smell all that bad, oddly enough.
I mean, it seems okay.
Yeah, it does look an awful lot like a hot dog bun, though, doesn't it?
Yep.
It's kind of slightly stale. I don't know.
Stale. It's preserved. See, Chuck,
this is how you slice.
Shut up,
bread.
Shut up. We don't slice bread where I come from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it must be one of those dialect things like you were talking about.
Yes. Dude, bro, we have bagels and crap. I don't know.
Let's go get a bagel, bro.
We eat pizza.
Your dogs come down here. There's going to be crumbs everywhere.
Yep. I can't get all the peanut butter.
I would have to...
Peanut butter won't come out. I'm having technical difficulties.
I have to give iffy reviews to the crumminess of the bread.
It does just fall apart.
Yes. Okay.
Ah.
And there's not enough big enough hole for the peanut butter.
That's what she said. Mmm. Yummy peanut butter.
Yeah. Where's that knife?
Don't stab me, bro.
Again.
Okay, and grape jelly. There we go. Oh, yeah, look at that grape jelly. Hope it's stuck.
What is this crap?
So can't you see, like, putting about a dozen of these in your sidekick? The grape jelly's moving.
It is. That's, something, isn't it?
I think it's going to eat me.
Yeah, I just like to point out this point.
Oops.
I had 4 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches with me on our trip, and that occupied less space than this can.
Well, it's like the adventure toilet paper holder.
That's true, but that's true. It wasn't adventure-y because it didn't come in a can.
If they made this brush aluminum instead of this purple label.
Oh, God. Tour Tech would sell thousands of them.
Yeah.
Okay, yep. There's the peanut butter.
Yes, Colleen, we're making fun of Tour Tech again.
I had to make some emergency field modifications to the peanut butter delivery device.
You ripped it more.
I ripped it more.
I'm ready to eat. I don't know.
Go.
Don't eat the fresh pack.
Ugh. I'm not sure I'd want to give this to any child of mine. Because, like, this is inordinately difficult.
They'll spend all of the lunch hour trying to
put the damn sandwich together for PB&J.
That or it says something about us.
Or we are terrible, or, you know.
We're terrible.
I'm also just thinking of any child of mine will also be a child of my wives. And
mm-hmm.
We know about her and knives.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This knife is far too sharp for that.
Yeah. The night before we left on our trip, which we'll be talking about today, I spent a lot of time in the Instacare.
Yep. You going to take all day on this?
I'm trying to do it good.
It's a sandwich in a can.
Of course it's. And for that, I'm going to get stick. God damn it. I'll paint it all over me.
It's all over your beard.
Ugh, fuck. This sandwich is not beard approved.
Are you ready?
Oh, God, yes.
All right, here we go. We're going to eat the adventure sandwich.
Still peanut butter everywhere. Adventure sandwiches in cans. Adventure.
Mm.
Do we bring any drinks down? Because.
What?
It's kind of dry and sticky.
What?
Exactly.
It doesn't taste bad.
No, it doesn't. It's,
But it is like the Rube Goldberg of sandwiches.
It really,
We could have had like a dozen sandwiches in the time it took us to do this.
We could have peanut butter and jellied one entire loaf of bread. I do like the fact that it comes with a little sticky clean-yourself-up pads.
Is that what it is? I thought that was to keep everything dry.
Oh, is it? Oh, no, you're right. This is the do-not-eat packet.
Yeah.
Well, peanut butter everywhere.
That's a sandwich.
If you have sticky kids, this is not for them.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a sticky adult, this is also not for you.
Okay, so it looks like a hot dog bun, but it's not.
No, it's something. It's actually fairly okay bread.
Mm-hmm.
But it comes in this can thing from, what is it, Mark 1 Foods. Let's check out the nutrition. Let's learn about our adventure. Let's see how adventurous this is.
Mm.
Serving size, 1 sandwich. No shit. Calories, 480. Oh my God.
Wow.
Calories from fat. How many do you want to guess? 200 calories from fat.
Wow. 22 grams of fat, 4.5 saturated. No cholesterol.
Mm-hmm.
510 milligrams of sodium.
Plenty of that. I'm sure a lot of that's for the peanut butter, actually.
63 grams of carbs.
Yeah. Could be worse. Still, it's an awful lot of calories for what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It must be something to do with the bread.
And that's not counting the candy surprise.
Oh, yeah.
Which is 30 more calories. It's just Laffy Taffy. Mm-hmm. My daughter will love it. Well, we have feasted like men.
We're adventure-y.
Mm-hmm.
Our sandwich in cans. I have to say, I was expecting a little more here. I was looking for an actual sandwich in a can, not a kit to make a sandwich in a can.
Well, we could always try canned bacon next time.
That's maybe a little too adventure for me.
The Wheel Nerds.
I will need to try some vintage food next time.
Continuing quest for adventure edibles. There you go, Craig.
I have to say that Mark One Foods canwich, I don't know.
Well, you know, they make this stuff. Utah is huge on food storage.
Yeah, and anything. I think this is really what this is aimed at. This is aimed at for putting in your bomb shelter.
Yep. Utah, if you don't know, is like the food storage capital of the world. Squirrel everything away.
The general term is the Mormon room in a house, which is the bomb shelter room.
Yeah.
So, Mormon listeners, we're sorry, but come on. You have neighbors like this. Don't act surprised.
You got to keep like a year's worth of food and stuff.
For carrying on a bike, I don't think I'd do it, only because it's kind of inconveniently sized.
Yeah, I know. It would be. That's a lot of dead space.
Lots and lots of dead space for what we've got. I mean, this is like many sandwiches sized of just sandwiches in plastic bags. And a peanut butter jelly sandwich in a plastic bag has like a life in a side case of a week. And it's still basically okay.
Even in Todd's side case.
Even in my side case.
Where stuff lives.
My side cases are disgusting.
Not just the side cases.
It matches the rest of the bike.
And what else?
And me.
You're going to take forever to eat that. You're going to be eating that the whole show.
I'm covered in peanut butter and crumbs.
You are covered
in... Call the dogs.
How come I don't have that problem? Well, how did you get it everywhere?
I don't know.
Look, this is horrible.
I don't know. It's not my fault.
People let you out into public? What the hell, man? It's like the sandwich exploded on you.
I need a crumb tray. And a bib. One of those chairs with a little table that goes around it.
You need an adult. That's what you need. You're making fun of me cutting open a bread. At least I was able to eat most of it.
I ate most of it. I just...
No, most of it's everywhere else.
It's all right. We'll send the dogs in.
Yeah, this is horrible.
My wife's all part of the Todd experience.
My wife's going to kill you, man. Look, it's like, it's everywhere.
If I stop, I know.
It's in your hair.
It's not in my hair.
There's crumbs in your hair.
There's crumbs in my hair. You're full of it. Aye. Oh,
sorry. No, it's good. You're good.
Stop
now.
Doing the dad thing. God, you just.
I'm a dad. I can't.
You're seconds away from like spitting on a paper towel and coming after me with it.
That's a mom.
Jesus.
That's a mom move.
Okay.
I won't do that. Okay. So we got a Craigslist ad from Joel.
Mm.
Women's motorcycle gear. This is a like new women's Joe Rocket Love textile jacket, size small, and a like new women's Scorpion Black Dahlia,
I think.
Dahlia helmet, size small. Both have only been worn about a dozen times and are in great condition. They come from a smoke-free home.
Cool.
We just bought a cruiser bike, so I won't need them anymore.
What? Stop. Stop. Back up. We just bought a cruiser bike, so I won't need them anymore.
Nope.
Well,
she's switching tribes.
Right, yes. And she's got a leather vest now and a bandana.
And some chaps.
So why the hell would she want a pretty nice helmet and a nice jacket that'll be comfy
exactly
on the bike?
Yeah.
Because fuck that noise. Right? I mean, shit.
No one's going to see her American flag bikini top underneath the Joe Rocket textile jacket.
Unless it's unzipped in the front.
But yeah. That would be kind of hot.
Yeah.
But no, that's not enough exposure. I don't think it meets the legally mandated requirement of skin exposure in some place like Sturgis.
Ah, honey. Well, since you sold your cruiser, I guess that means you need to buy more gear now, right?
I've been looking at
the... I just bought vintage, so I don't need my suit anymore. I bought a wax cotton jacket and a three-quarter helmet with a stripe down the middle.
I've been wearing the suit every day.
Yeah.
Because it's cold now.
No shit.
So the suit's...
Very handy.
Yep.
But I have been looking at the Triumph line of clothing for Triumph branded clothes.
Oh, like
leather pants. Leather armored pants. Huh. Ever since John's accident, armor's been high on my mind.
Yeah, I can imagine. Armor. Useful.
Yeah. So, but the leather armored pants look kind of cool. So uh-huh. I might buy those next year.
Yeah, I have a funny sensation. I'm going to make a prediction here. Okay. You're going to get them, and you're going to wear them for, like, short rides and being fashionable.
Yep.
Mostly you're just going to keep using the one-piece suit.
Probably.
Because that's how one-piece suits are.
Yep.
By the way, I just want you to know, as of yesterday, my fake vintage now is better than your fake vintage.
You don't have a fake vintage. You have an authentic vintage.
It's kind of fake.
What's fake about it? I mean, it's...
Well, it's got Brembo front brake and...
You know. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, but the mechanicals are...
Well, yeah, okay, that's true.
Yeah. Mine is, like, really fake. I mean, mine has fuel injection that looks like carbs.
Yours is true poser vintage.
Yes.
On the other hand, it goes over 55 miles an hour. Once
quite easily.
The braking is done.
I'm in the, you know, I've been going over 5,000.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I forgot what the braking procedure was after 3,000.
Oops.
So I've just been taking it easy.
Taking it easy and varying your RPMs a bunch.
Yeah.
Calling it good.
Yep.
But yeah, the Ural's back on the road.
That's great.
I am psyched.
That's awesome.
I didn't realize how much I missed it until I got out. And then, like, I'm there. I'm out for lunch. And people are like, where do you get a Ural in Utah?
That explains everything.
What?
The Ural is on the road.
Uh-huh.
Ergo.
The Buell can't be.
Which we'll be getting to.
Actually, let's start talking about that now.
Yeah, so we had a sweet-ass trip planned for this weekend.
Yes, we were going to ride Utah's Route 12, which mm-hmm. is like the creamiest road here.
The holy shit road. Every time, basically Route 12 goes like this. You see the most amazing, beautiful thing you've ever seen. You're like, wow, that was great. And, you know, I'm sure the rest of the road won't be quite that good. And you're right up the road 2 miles and go around a corner. You're like, whoa, it's got even better.
Yeah.
And it goes on like this for
100 miles.
100
right?
miles, yeah. roughly. So it will take you most of the day to go 100 miles because you'll constantly be stopping going, click, 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 which yep. is, you know, part of the fun. It's total, like, it's an awesome sightseeing trip. You can't beat it.
And that one part of the road that kind of goes along the spine of a mountain.
Mm-hmm, along Boulder Mountain there.
That is awesome.
Fantastic riding.
Yes.
Yes, indeed.
Too bad I didn't see it.
Yeah.
Well, not Todd didn't see it either.
Nope.
But our first day was actually really good in its own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We took a bunch of the back roads, went through Wolf Creek, the Indian Canyon, which is, I don't know what Wolf Creek is, but it's, then 191 is Indian Canyon, goes south out of Duchesne.
Yep.
And then south out of Price on Route 10, you go through all these little kind of podunk towns. We were expecting that to be a kill me now desert run, and it's actually kind of pretty.
Yeah, it's
surprisingly so.
And you get really nice vistas.
Sufficiently varied terrain to make it interesting to look at.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that was pretty cool.
I think what was different for it this time is you weren't on a Ural that was trying to slave you.
That's true. Yeah, there wasn't a Ural trying to kill me on it this time, which was nice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So
cruising along the Strom.
We were all cruising. I was on the Buell. Our friend Claire was on his brand new Triumph Tiger. His
brand new, shiny.
Spotless.
Spotless Tiger Triumph 800. That'll come up again, too.
Foreshadowing.
Blatant foreshadowing.
From Route 10, we found a cool little road.
Yeah, Route 72. Yeah, which Route 10 basically ends in 72, which is, you know, makes it easy to find.
Mm-hmm.
But 72 goes down through the mountains and goes into Loa, which is just outside Torrey, Utah, which is where Route 12 begins or ends, depending on which direction you're going.
Yeah, so we rode that road into Loa, where Todd went looking for beer.
Went
from one end of the
beer.
Town
one
to
end
the
of the
other.
Frickin' town to the other.
I think they were just sending you around.
Oh, my God. I wanted tortillas, and of course, they didn't have them in the Quickie Mart.
Right.
And then they're like, she's like, oh, there's a real supermarket down the way. I'm like, ah, sweet, actual supermarket. So I'm like, okay, I can go to a supermarket, and they'll have a better selection of beer than the Quickie Mart does, because the Quickie Mart has...
We're in Utah.
Foreshadowing. Because the Quickie Mart has all of, like, two kinds of beer.
Right.
Other than, like, you know, Bud and Bud Light. But I distinctly said beer.
Ow.
So we go down to the grocery store and we find the tortillas and all the other stuff and we can't find beer. Because the grocery store doesn't sell beer.
But yeah, after our trip in Loa, we headed back up into the hills to
yep.
Fish Lake.
Anything you want to say, Todd?
Nope.
Hold, Todd.
And that's Todd.
Live here by... What is this, Fish Lake?
Yep. Fish Lake.
By Fish Lake, freezing our asses off. Freezing our asses off by a fire.
Fortunately, Chuck has made a good fire.
Chuck is a pyromaniac.
It's all true.
Hello, listeners.
How you doing?
Oh, yeah.
Your tent's right next to mine.
I don't think that quite works. I'm moving my tent.
Oh.
Look how much deer is out. Can I actually ride home tonight?
Move your tent to campsite 50. The other end. Don't forget to pay the camp host.
Yeah, that camp host.
So we found a sweet campground after all the others were closed, which was cool. Except,
I think this one's closed.
This one is actually closed too. It turns out
the door was open.
Yeah, they forgot to lock the gate because the bathrooms, not so bathroom, the water, nothing.
Camp host left a nice pile of wood.
Yep, that was good. We totally swiped that.
I'm sure he meant for people to burn.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure the intention was we'd swipe it.
Yep.
That's why the wood was there.
Why else would it be there?
And once again, the Buell proves useful.
The Buell is an excellent wood hauling bike, especially with a toolbox on the back, as opposed to just the toolbox between the seat and the handlebars.
Hey, you can knock that toolbox, but it's been really, really handy.
I have to say,
thanks for not falling in the fire pit.
You're welcome.
For all the ridiculous looks of the toolbox, it does seem to work pretty well. It is large and squarish and holds things.
It's working so well. It's I don't have as much drive as to finish the wood box. I'm just like, well, this is really working.
Aren't you supposed to be building your credenza at home anyway?
Yeah, that too.
I don't actually know what a credenza is, but
it's like a sideboard.
Yeah, that helped.
Great. Thanks. What's that?
Yeah. If only there was Google available right now.
Oh, God. Imagine like a stereo cabinet, like the old 80s stereo cabinet, okay. Except there's no stereo in it. It's just storage.
Oh, so like a low bookcase kind of thing.
Yeah, except it's enclosed. You don't see what's inside it.
Sure.
Oh, okay.
The kind of books Utah doesn't want you to have.
Right.
Yep. We did some... we found a new awesome road today, though.
Yes, what is it, 72?
Yeah, 72.
Highway 72, Utah 72.
That was a beautiful road.
I kicked ass.
Was that one marked on that Butler map?
It was, actually. Okay. Yeah, that was one of the things that attracted me to it, plus the fact that doing Route 6, I'd rather have dental surgery. And I'm a little sick of the Fairview area, having been up and down through there a few too many times.
Yeah. It was totally fine. We could go with the posted speed limit plus some.
What? No, we went at the posted limit.
At the posted limit.
Always.
Forever. Uh-huh.
Riding your own ride.
Yes, we all did.
I'm slow.
Even the section where Chuck was in front, none of us died.
No one fell.
There was the one dicey bit in Fremont.
Not my fault.
That was the most speed I think I have tried to scrub off before a turn in a long time. I saw it coming.
Holy
and I just watched Chuck suddenly just go with shit over. I was like, holy. Brakes, 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 brakes.
I was just like, huh. I don't know what that's going to feel like.
And then they left all the gravel in the middle of the road. I really loved that.
Oh, yeah, that was beautiful.
I think that's how they're keeping the speed down in their town. They put these they'll put a 90-degree turn, like, no warning.
In a dirt pile.
Over a rise with a dirt pile in the middle.
I'm just, like, dancing on it, like, look!
Without too much marking, you'll be making a right-hand turn here.
If that doesn't slow you down...
This might.
It will stop you.
About this time, the Duke boys decided to show old Boss Hogg how to do a right turn.
Very suddenly.
So just where you talk about if Todd survives the night or freezes his ass off.
That could happen, too.
That could happen.
I had all sorts of layers laid out on the bed, and I took most of them. All of them. I've got enough to cover me right now. This is all I've got.
What do you think? We're 8,000 feet?
Thereabouts.
Eight, seven, eight?
I'd bet eight. Fish Lake's pretty high. I mean, we went down the road and then we spent the next 10 minutes climbing.
Yeah.
From, you know,
so we gotta be
where we were already high.
Probably mid-30s, if not lower, tonight. So
there's maybe two other camps going on where we are.
Yeah.
If that.
So what, like straight across there by a half mile, whatever that is?
Yeah, the one across the lake and that one back there.
The good news is we're up away from the lake a little bit, having learned our lesson in the past camping next to water.
Yeah. No, we're
freezing.
Chuck the Pyro made a great fire, so we're all toasty warm at the moment.
At the moment, but the side of me facing away from the fire is a little cold.
Yeah, my ass is suddenly is on the other side. But
I'm all like, can we move the tents down here?
The thought crossed my mind. I'm like, hey, you get it. So, like, the fire is warming me while I sleep.
We're just going to sleep around here.
Well, you know.
Drag the sleeping bags
out. I did bring my little metal, you know, old camping kit kind of thing with, you know, that you fold over. I could put some of the hot coals in that and use the old-fashioned 1800s.
I was debating whether I wanted to do the boil some water in the Nalgene bottle trick.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, if you put a fire in your tent, I'm going to turn the video camera on.
My tent is right next to yours, so yours will go too.
That's okay. I'll be out there recording it.
Oh my gosh.
Bonus film clip on the Wheel Nerds.
Well, we'll just have to see how it goes. If we freeze our asses off tonight, we're going to be in Panguitch, where there are a million hotels and there's fucking nobody around.
Yeah.
At least, it seems like southern Utah is very empty all of a sudden.
Well, it was a good time to go. Beautiful. There's nobody on Wolf Creek, nobody on Indian.
It's probably because people are freezing their asses off. I'm just going to throw that out.
Todd keeps turning like a hot dog in front of the fire.
Yeah, we even had some vehicles pull over for us, which was nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's rare.
That little snow crawler thing.
Oh, that too.
Going all of 2 miles an hour.
Yeah, one of those enclosed
ATVs. Gramps was driving that down.
You know what it reminded me of? It was like the KOA host. The little pickup ATV that they buzz around, and they're like, don't forget quiet time.
He's Nerf. What, he fell asleep at the wheel and just pulled
up?
You
saw the guy who was like a million. When you edit this, you sound much smoother than in live.
Well, Todd does a lot of work.
That's the magic. Okay. I do a lot of work. Long, awkward pauses, the first, second, and third takes of some things. I figure we'll record.
Again, I'm so privileged to be standing here by a fire with the Wheel Nerds.
Well, damn right you are.
Fucking A. You're buying the hotel and food tonight. We're all right.
You just got a job, right? We already voted that one.
Yeah. You know that just got a job thing? I haven't gotten one of those paychecks yet.
Details.
Fucking cold, and it's a good thing you made that fire. You were in rare form of that fire, and it's a damn good thing because it was cold that night. Holy crap. So I finally got warm by wrapping myself in a blanket inside my sleeping bag and little shades of Bridger there. I should have brought a Zero bag. That would have been the smart thing to do.
I masturbated a lot.
I have to go.
Keeps you warm. Blood pumping.
Oh, my God.
It's a survival technique.
Oh, my God.
Don't judge me.
I don't want to be on here. Call Fake Todd. Get him in here.
Hey, you're not the one who was in tent next to me.
Hey, good point.
Todd was a little ways off by himself, which I think he might have regretted later on in the night.
Yeah, I started to regret that because we were just, I was falling asleep because I finally got warm enough. And then
I was sleeping peacefully.
I hear off in the distance, I hear, which is, of course, my bad imitation of an elk bugling.
I was dreaming about trains.
Yeah, funny thing about that. I'm like, oh, that's elk bugling. That's so pretty. We're in the mountains. That's nice.
What was really weird about this night camping is, you know, so cold, so late in the season, there was no noise. There was no bugs, no spooky, birds, nothing.
No squirrels, no anything.
No other campers.
Absolutely silent.
Dead silent. And that was just the weirdest night of camping ever.
Yeah, that was really strange. And every time anyone stopped talking, the only noise would be like the fire.
Yep.
Absolutely it.
Until we heard this elk bugling.
Until we hear the elk bugling. And then we hear the elk bugling right outside the tent. And then for the next 15 minutes, all we hear is elk going by. So the fact that you were dreaming of trains, and of course the male kept bugling over and over and over, and I could hear him, you know, I could tell right where he was by the bugling noise, which slowly went past the camp. And up on a little rise above us. And,
yeah, I got woken up by Claire. He was kept saying, Chuck, Chuck.
Well, I considered a bunch of different options I had with the elk going by, you know, this big herd of these really large animals.
Mm-hmm.
I figured, okay, option one, I'll grab my camp axe and I'll get out there and I'll defend the camp from the elk. Option two, I'll make a bunch of noise to get the elk to go away from the camp.
Okay.
Option three, I'll cower in fear in my sleeping bag and not make a sound. I went with option three and it seemed to work for me.
I was going with the Chuck option of try to remain asleep.
Sleep through it. Dream of trains.
That seems a pretty good option for me. I like that option.
Yeah.
But Claire just kept going, Chuck, they're right out
outside. Go look. Go see if the elk are there. If you get bitten, scream. I don't know that elk really bite, but
That's the last thing I need is a mad bull elk.
Yeah, that was kind of my thought. I'm not terribly scared by elk. I've been near them many times, but I've also been near a few bull elk and had to hide inside buildings before from them, and they will walk around the building waiting for you to come out. They're that mean. So, you know.
And then the stragglers started running through the camp.
Yeah, the stragglers began running through the camp.
That was exciting.
That was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, that made a lot of noise. Next morning, we found elk prints just fucking everywhere.
My wife's like, why didn't you stick your head out and take a picture?
Because there are friggin' elk out there. They're big.
They outnumber us.
Yeah. I was considering trying to stick my phone out and take a video underneath. But, of course, the phone lights up when you do that. I was like, I don't want to do anything to attract attention.
It's not like we're wearing orange vests or anything. Yeah. Something that would give them fear.
Yeah. You know, if I had a 300 Win Mag and I was in a tree stand, different story. I know what we're doing for dinner tomorrow night. But, yeah. So, elk. Elk are very hard to sleep through when they're going through your camp.
Yep. So that I think that, my wife believes in the interconnectedness of everything in the universe. Mm-hmm. And she says that was the first sign.
The first sign. Of trouble brewing.
Foreshadowing.
Or foreshadowing.
Before we close out that first day.
Yeah.
Grogs. Grogs in Price.
Wow.
If you go through Price, Utah, look up Grogs. Groggs. Awesome food. Yeah. I guess the beer there is pretty good, I hear.
I've heard the beer's pretty good, too. Of course, we were on the bike, so that wasn't really an option. But yeah.
And we were pretty early.
That's where we should have bought the beer.
Yeah, and just taken it.
Yeah.
Because they were selling growlers.
Yeah, get a growler of beer. That would have been great. Although only you and I were drinking it.
Yeah,
Claire, yeah. Claire had like half of one beer and then was like, and like left it on the table.
Did he even get through half?
Yeah, about. Yeah. I was done with one beer by the time he was a quarter done.
I about drank that whole thing of mead. I think you had like a half cup,
a cup. A half cup or so. Yeah. No wonder you slept so well.
Yep. Grogs and Price, go there. Mm-hmm. Great food.
Good
burgers
spot.
Are the size of your head.
So, Chuck, let me ask you something.
Yes?
What is wrong with the deal? I mean, no, let me ask it a different way. Chuck, what the fuck is wrong with your Buell?
I don't know.
I mean, seriously, man.
I don't know. It started out so nice that day. We had breakfast in Torrey, Utah.
Yep. Woke up, froze our asses off. Chuck, of course, dawdles around.
I'm not in a hurry.
No, you weren't. I was cold.
Well, you guys got warm quick once you were all suited up waiting for me.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, you see how fast I'm going.
I should learn to just expect it.
Who do you have to blame?
Yeah, I know.
You see what I'm doing. What do you have to, you know? I know why Claire does it, because Claire's Claire. Mm-hmm. But you.
Yeah,
know me.
The thing I was thinking is, like, I totally could have had the pan out on the stove, made tea, put it all away in the time it took you to get ready. I was kicking myself for that.
Yeah. Lesson learned.
Lesson learned.
So, yeah, we after breakfast in Torrey.
Yeah, so we went into Capitol Reefs. We checked out Goosenecks, which is just this little one-mile dirt road. And I saw a one-mile dirt road to something cool. We got to do it.
Yep.
Got to do some dirt. Now we're adventure-y. Yep. Adventure. Just ignore the Civics.
Shh.
And the rental cars.
Minivan.
Busload of Girl Scouts.
Yeah. The busload of Girl Scouts that came driving up when we were naked.
I have never gotten naked behind my bike so many times in a single day as I did that day. Like we could not change layers fast enough to adapt for the conditions.
I just want to say, Todd, I now feel a very special bond to you.
Yes. Yes, that's good.
I feel closer to you now, more so than ever.
So two dudes are hiding behind their motorcycles.
Naked.
Stripping off their clothing. In a parking lot on a busload of Girl Scouts shit.
So after that, we went to go see the pictographs, which was cool.
No, there's a petroglyphs.
No, petroglyphs.
Yeah, pictographs is when it's painted on, and petroglyphs are when it's etched in. Exactly.
When we were pulling out from there, the Buell started hitching. And hitching worse and worse. Mm. It was losing several hundred RPM with each one. Mm. And then it started after firing very loudly.
Yeah.
And then at that point, it just shut off altogether.
Yeah, we couldn't figure out what you were doing because we got going and then you just like pull over on the side of the road.
Yep.
We're like, let's see, is he dicking with his music? Is he, you know, what's going on here? Is he scratching his ass? Come on.
I started it right back up, kept going. We pulled in the Torrey to gas up and told you guys what's going on.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, why don't you lead and I'll follow you.
Yeah, and see what's like, what.
All right.
start up again, start going right away. The hitching comes back.
So technically we did about a mile of Route 12.
The backfiring starts up. Todd was ducking behind his mic.
It was loud. I was like, if I hadn't seen you, I would have expected somebody was shooting at us.
Yeah. And then a mile in or so in, it died again.
So he pulls over and Chuck and I are discussing the bike.
I'm starting it up and trying to let it run at idle. It would die.
Like clockwork.
A couple times. Claire comes in on his brand new, spotless, gleaming Triumph Tiger.
Perfect condition Tiger.
Mint condition.
Entirely new. Shiny.
No depreciation whatsoever.
Whatsoever. Perfect paint. Perfect everything.
Perfect turn signals.
Not even very many bugs on it.
Perfect clutch lever.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Claire has a side stand failure. I turn around just in time to see Claire's bike go, fall over. Claire somersaults off of the bike as this is happening into the road, jumps up and runs back in. Now, that's how you know someone, by the way, is an MSF instructor. If they can wrestle a bike to the ground and somersault off of it and then run back and pick it up.
You got a lot of practice at that.
They've done that once or twice. That's the official, I have just stalled the trainer in the box and need to roll off of it and make it look like no big deal for the student's trick.
I missed that whole thing because I was still dicking with the
yeah, bike. It was pretty damn funny.
Todd runs over to Claire.
Yep.
And this is where it really starts to get weird.
This is where it got real weird because Claire's Tiger doesn't have any side cases on it. Yep. It's got all the stuff on top of it. And the design of the Tiger is so narrow, when this thing freaking falls on the ground, it's like a coin on a tabletop, man. You know when you can't get your nails like under the edges of the coin and there's no way to pick the goddamn thing up? That's what we were having. Every time you try to push it up, it just kind of rocks scoots. And wiggles and then scoots.
So they're wrestling with that. I start the Buell one more time.
Yep.
And forget about it, thinking it's going to die. And I walk over to you guys and we get the bike up. Yep. And the Buell sits there and runs.
Perfectly.
The whole time.
Bastard thing.
But at this point, I'm really, really kind of paranoid.
Yeah. Well, at this point,
I've lost all confidence in the
Buell. At this point, we've got one uphill up onto Boulder Mountain. And then everything on the downhill side from there is a bunch of canyons.
Yeah.
So there are many, many bad places to find a Buell dead.
Yeah. Yeah. I could see myself in a curve at like 40, 50 miles an hour, leaned over, and the Buell goes bleh.
Bleh.
We've talked about this before with people on who've done the long trips like Ryan and John.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not all successes. They don't always work out. And sometimes you have to make that kind of decision. You got to look deep and figure out what you're willing to put up with.
Been there, done that. And did that at a gas station outside Durango.
Yep. I was. So,
I can't do it anymore.
I looked into my soul and said, no, this is not the weekend I want to be stranded in southern Utah. So I told the guys, I'm going to nurse it back and you guys keep going.
Yep. So he turns around and heads off making boom noises.
Boom noises. I get the Torrey, the boom noises stop. I'm halfway through Torrey, the hitching stops. On the far side of Torrey, heading toward Lyman, the bike's completely normal.
So there's like a weird – there's a magical ley line convergence in Torrey, and that's why there's so many hippies there. And when you cross it with the Buell, it causes the Buell to act funny. I bet if we go to take it to Torrey, we can experiment. We'll find the exact point in town.
Just go – Some people have dowsing rods. I have a Buell Ulysses.
There's water here.
Dig here.
Yeah. So we take off and we get about half a mile down the road and I pull over the thing. I'm like, I can't just leave Chuck out there. If he dies in the middle of nowhere where there's no cell service, I will feel bad for the rest of my life because you rode 50 miles an hour the entire freaking way to Durango and then half the way back a day early with me to make sure I didn't, you know, like crash in the middle of nowhere because I was so thrashed.
Yeah.
So I wasn't willing to leave you.
I really appreciate that. That was when you called me up to tell me you guys were coming up behind me, I like teared up a little in my helmet. And then I was like, maybe I should tell them the Buell's running fine.
Well, then we'll come up behind you swinging chains.
I think I said something like, it's not doing it anymore.
I think my answer was bastard thing.
Yeah.
So let me ask this again. What the fuck is wrong with your Buell?
I don't know, man. I don't know. People on Facebook, on our Facebook page, was saying, you know, check the coil pack.
That's a good suggestion. I was suspicious of the ignition system when it was happening because it, you know, gas is building up in your exhaust and it's going boom.
I know there's a problem with the fuel pump, at least the low fuel sensor.
Mm-hmm.
we've got that gas smell that seemed like it was coming
out
of the
gas
pump.
Smell, and there's a weird burning shit smell.
There's a weird burning shit smell now. And just yesterday, last night, I was able to recreate part of the problem.
Okay.
I wailed on the fucker up and down Wasatch.
Yeah.
And I finally got the hitching and popping to happen. Not booming, but it was popping, and it was definitely just skipping revs, misfiring. That's the check engine light blinked.
That's making me coil suspicious, I think.
Yeah.
Because that would be consistent with it's not always making kaboom. It's skipping a rev because suddenly all it did was just turn around as
push
opposed
gas
to go
around.
Boom. And, yeah.
But I had to wail on it to get it to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, just I was riding it back and forth to work because of further mishaps.
Further mishaps?
Yeah. Let's talk about Claire's Triumph. We forgot to mention the damage to it.
Chuck's avoiding something. We'll come back to that. Yeah, so Claire's Triumph, he managed to break the end off the clutch lever and shatter the turn signal lens on the left. Other than that, I have to say the Tiger bore up quite well.
Thank God.
It's not quite a Strom fall over where you go, pick it back up.
Well, if your Strom falls over, it falls, what, 6 inches? <That's> it lands on a case?
Yeah, that's true.
And it has that soft bag as a cushion?
The soft bag as a cushion may be the best protective thing ever, I have to say.
So the Thruxton. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's really easy to leave it on.
Is it?
Without
does it have the secret kill battery position like Suzuki does?
No, it's just when you turn it off, the headlight stays on. Nothing else does.
When it's off, or are you just
when you hit the kill switch?
Oh, okay, yeah. I see.
When you thumb it off with the kill switch, all the idiot lights turn off on the dash.
Oh, okay.
But the headlight stays on.
Oh.
Which I hear is bad for your battery.
Chuck, did you kill the Thruxton's battery?
I drained it really bad.
Yeah.
So that it wouldn't start.
Was it savable? Like, could you go?
I left it overnight on the charger and rode it today.
Okay.
But I also learned something else. You don't want to try to be plugging in your tender in full gear while astride the bike and the tender's on the ground.
Uh-oh.
And you have the kickstand up.
So, you've wrestled the Thruxton bravely to the ground now?
Yes, yes. Instead of having an airbag, I used my ankle.
Oh, okay, good.
And it was screaming for my wife.
Honey, help!
Louder and more panicky. Because at that point, I had caught myself on the Buell.
Mm-hmm.
And the Buell
was starting to clean.
The Buell also did not have its sights down because it was up on its wheel stand.
Mm-hmm.
And at that, it was slowly starting to creak over into the car. So I've got one hand on the back tire of the Buell, the other hand on the Thruxton. I'm trapped under the Thruxton. The Thruxton's pushing me down. I'm pushing the Buell. And the Buell is just edging closer and closer to a point.
To your wife's nice car.
Yes. And I had taken the side bags off of the Buell, so it was just going to go.
Lots
right
of nice
over.
Sharp objects.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man. That big dent-causing rear bar. Yeah.
Disaster averted, but yeah. Lessons learned.
Lesson one, don't be Chuck.
I'm bad at motorcycles.
Don't be Chuck. Lesson two, and possibly the more important one, don't be Chuck's bike.
I'm bad at motorcycles.
Oh, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I got the Ural final drive back together in about an hour and a half.
Wow, that's cool.
Most of that time, I will tell you quite honestly, was spent doing those fucking needle bearings. Stick, 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 stick.
How many are
stick,
there?
Stick, stick. There are 48 in the center, and there are 29, 27, some odd number.
And you had to see all those?
I had to see all of them.
Wow.
Now, what these are just those logs I was telling you about. So you basically just get them in grease so they're all sticky, and you stick them to your finger, and you stick them to whatever they're supposed to be to the race.
Yeah.
And you do that for each and one over. And over and over and over. And sometimes you can, like, pick up two at a time, but then they slide against each other, and they're hard to get in. It's like you finally just give up. You're like, God damn it. Stick, stick, stick. And it's not that fast. It's stick. Okay. All right. Ooh, it's moving. Okay. We're good. Next.
And this was Todd's window into the day of life of a Russian motorcycle builder.
Oh, no, thank you.
He has new respect for Ivan.
Oh, do I ever. Man.
Speaking of respect, let's talk about this New York Times article, which has really made the rounds.
Oh, yeah. This has been several of you have sent this to us.
Yep. And I've seen it all over the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody has a bee in his bonnet about adventure bikes.
Now, If, author, you're one of our listeners, pretty sure you owe us a beer or something.
he largely says what we say, just a bit more catty.
Yeah. There's definitely a kind of a catty thing to it. He points out that it's the men of a certain age, Chuck.
What?
who seem to be big into this.
Well, look at his comparisons when he's drawing these illusions, like, as with Cialis, divers' watches and submarine launch thermonuclear devices. It's not what you do with it. Yeah. Yeah.
It's what you and others imagine you could do that counts.
And then he makes comparisons to the pornography industry as, you know, selling the dream that you cannot actually do in your own. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like pornography and military industries, they owe its existence to the proposition that nobody ever went broke overestimating Americans' ability to value fantasy over reality. Yep. Okay, so what industry doesn't profit over that? Because look at cars, man.
I can't think of any.
Yeah. Or cars, backpack, you know,
breakfast cereal.
Everything lives off of this. Not just porn. Why pick on porn? Why? Why pick on porn? Why, man? Why?
So this is, of course, the adventure Starbucks in the New York Times.
Yeah. And I guess he tries to throw down some credibility of his own by saying he went on an adventure tour.
I rode an early production R80GS Paris-Dakar from Munich over the blah, 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 blah. Sounds pretty rugged. If you didn't know, I did it as part of a bike tour. We had guides to fix our flats, a chase truck carrying our luggage, hotel rooms most nights, and red wine every night. You know, on the one hand, I agree with the silliness of the thing of the adventure Starbucks tendency.
Yeah, we've talked about that before.
We've beaten that one to death, and it's funny. This guy, though, has like, I can't help but sense a little chip on this dude's shoulder, you know?
I predict that at one morning he came to work and there was a GS in his parking spot.
Could be, yeah. Or the GS guy was in line in front of him at Starbucks ordering for like a bunch of people.
Oh, yeah. Or maybe the GS guy was trying to worm his GS into the Starbucks to take a picture.
Ooh, that could be it right there. And this guy ruined it. We're sorry, listener.
You ruined it for the rest of us.
His name is Dexter Ford, and he works for the New York Times.
There's going to be a gang of GSs waiting for him. You here to beat us, you here to beat me up?
No, we're going to audit you.
I'm here to talk about your dental hygiene.
No!
I'm your ears, nose, and throat specialist. I'm your chiropractor. The Euro Butch aesthetic. That's cute.
Euro Butch.
Mm-hmm. Between an espresso machine and oil refinery, the GS.
Yeah, he's definitely
he's got a bike in mind.
Yeah, he's picturing a GS in his head. And there's no doubt about it.
I mean, he names like all the examples, KTMs, he even names V-Stroms, the Multistrada.
The Tenere.
I mean, this looks like a guy he just spent a couple minutes on Google to pick out bike models.
Yeah, I get what he's saying, but I think, frankly, we say it a lot more fun.
Yeah, well, you know, this is what he says about touring, you know, notwithstanding. This sounds like a non-rider poking the same kind of fun we do.
This sounds like an I don't ride much anymore, you know?
Except we get it. So, you know, we're making fun of our own.
Yeah.
This guy is just, he's kind of a dick.
Yeah. It comes off a little dicky. Maybe that wasn't his intention. And, you know, it's print, so it's always tricky.
Yeah, he didn't put smiley faces.
This could very well have been, well, the other thing is this could very well have gone through an editor, too, who doesn't ride.
Who's also a dick. Or a dick instead.
Yeah.
I'm still going with the dick.
So, I think what you're saying
is I just want to say that a few more times. Dick. Let's talk about the Froxton.
Okay, since, you know, we've had it all over our Facebook page.
My new shiny Thruxton.
Chuck's brain has basically been Thruxton, 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 fucking Buell, Thruxton, Thruxton.
That's fairly accurate. you got to ride it while it was still very early in its break.
Yeah, very early in its break.
So let's have you talk about it first.
Sure. So the Thruxton, I mean, it's obviously the faux vintage.
Yep.
And it's destroying the faux vintage market. I mean, it is like the quintessential faux vintage bike.
Well, all three of the Triumph classics are
true.
The modern classics are definitely carving that market up.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And it's very much the fake vintage. I mean, there's nothing vintage about this bike.
No, maybe the seat.
The frame, the seat, probably.
I mean, the look.
The look is wicked vintage. The actual bike itself, I mean, you know, you've got pretty modern, you get modern rubber on it. You know, it's fuel injected. It's a good size engine. Mm-hmm. All that. My impressions from relatively short ride in
at
general.
At low revs.
Yeah, at low revs. First of all, the 3000 is like you're just tickling on the edge of where it might start to get funny. You can feel the bike just barely beginning to actually kick in. And it's like, nope, you can't go above that. Yeah. You ruined Chuck's bike.
Yep.
The way it sits, it's thematically appropriate.
It's I describe it as old school sport bike.
It's a proto sport bike, yeah. Yeah. This is the ancestor of sport bikes. And now, for that reason, my bad knee is like, hey, fuck you.
It's actually kind of close to modern-ish sport tours like a VFR.
Yeah, yeah.
That posture.
Along those lines with possibly a little less leg room. Because VFR definitely did not make my knee do that. That thing was making my knee not happy.
It's a smaller bike.
Yeah.
Well, it's heavy.
That's the funny thing about it is it's not actually that small. And that's one of the things that kind of amazed me about it. Like the Ural looks immense looking at a picture. But I mean, it looks like it's just going to fucking eat cars and spit them out the back end. Mm-hmm. And in fact, in real life, the Ural is actually pretty small. This one is kind of the opposite to me. Like, looking at it from a distance, it doesn't look that big. It looks pretty, like, it's going to be a real small bike.
Mm-hmm.
And then you actually get on the thing, and it actually is pretty big. Like, it's not super small. The wheelbase is not super short. It's pretty tall, and it carries its weight pretty high. It's heavy, too.
It is
definitely
noticed
that. It's real heavy, pounds. And the steering lock is balls.
Coming from a Buell Ulysses, though, the steering lock is quite nice.
Oh, okay. Coming from the V-Strom, it's like, or the Ural, forget it. It's like, what is this shit? What the fuck is this shit? Turn, you fucker! Yeah, the weight of the thing was actually one of the things that immediately struck me, is you take it up off the side stand, and it carries its weight pretty high.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a pretty good amount of it there. Once you get it rolling, though, I have to say it's extremely well-balanced. Handling is nice and snappy. They did a real good job making it look vintage but ride actually pretty decent. You know, it's not on par with any of the real modern stuff, for sure. But
it's not why you're buying it.
It's a good point. It's not what you're going in for.
Yep.
You go in expecting, I want something that looks vintage that'll be kind of cool to ride.
And, it will help me pick up hipster chicks.
Yes. Except that it doesn't have a back seat.
Take the cowl off.
Oh, okay. That's right. The cowl covers the back seat. It's fun to ride, and it's got the look down pat. And frankly, I got to be honest, this bike, if you're going to buy this bike, you're going to buy it for the look. Let's be straight up. This is if you want something that's a great handler and an amazing tour and a comfy, you know, let's go to the let's go anywhere, really. This ain't it.
Nope.
But, you know, if you want something that looks good and actually is a pretty decent ride, despite looking real vintage, it's a pretty solid piece of kit.
Mm-hmm.
Have you priced out a waxed cotton jacket yet?
No, I've priced out a leather jacket.
Oh, okay.
That says Triumph. And Steve McQueen. No, just kidding.
Now you really are going to look like a middle-aged dude on your faux vintage bike. I just want to warn you.
Sooner or later, I've got to face that truth.
Mm-hmm.
I'm getting closer and closer to that. You'll be there someday.
That's going
to
be a great show. The Chuck's 40th birthday extravaganza.
John wants me to go with him to North Carolina.
Yeah.
That month.
Huh. Okay.
We'll rent some V-Stroms and ride Blue Ridge Parkway.
That could be fun.
He's pushing real hard for that. Well, he's also pushing real hard for me to get rid of the Buell. Because he's saying things now like, imagine you're leaned over in a corner and it dies. And then you die.
And bears eat you.
Elk.
Ravenous, arboreal, man-eating elk. Walking through the forest, there's an elk hiding in a tree, and it drops on you and chews you.
And here I am without my Tourtech elk repellent.
Mm-hmm.
Damn it.
You're screwed.
And I was making fun of them for it. Damn it, they knew. You know, okay. I agree with everything you said about the Thruxton.
Mm-hmm.
Now that I've been riding it in the early 5,000 RPM range, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But it is not a sport bike. It's a good handling bike.
Yeah.
It is not a modern handling bike.
Gotcha.
It is not a modern fast bike.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bike that's evoking a period of history that, you know, it's... I'm kind of digging that right now. I dig that look. It's a bike that says, fuck you, Todd.
Okay. I can get behind that. It definitely says, fuck you, Todd. And my right knee says, fuck you, bike.
Fuck you forever.
My right knee says, fuck you forever, Todd. Get off of this bike.
But you rode it around a couple times.
I rode it around a couple times. Man, when I got off that thing, the knee made that. It sometimes when I straighten it, it makes this awful bonk noise. And you get this moment of just like, all you can do is just grit your teeth together really hard. And this is the... This is the wages of skiing.
But no, I really love that bike. I've been having balls fun on it. Yeah, it's just it's a fun bike.
I think some leather saddlebags would do good things for it. But
yeah, you know, I'm kind of going back and forth about what to do with the bike.
Yeah.
I'm kind of thinking it's going to go Durango next year.
Yeah. Okay.
So in which case, I've got to do a little bit of kit to tour it up.
Yep. You got to do leather saddlebags on it. You can't. I mean, you're buying a freaking Thruxton for the looks. You can't put synthetic saddlebags on that thing. It'll be all wrong.
I know. Charlie's pushing me real hard to do defender delete. And
Why?
I don't like the way it looks without the fender.
I'm entirely baffled by it, especially on a vintage bike. It looks very strange.
It looks like it's missing too much back there, you know, with just the, it looks too much like a modern sport bike where it's just, you've got
just
that
a tail.
Yeah. So we've got Claire on the line. He was the third part of our infamous trip. Claire, how's the Tiger?
It's fine. Got my parts today. I can put the bike back together. Thank you very much.
Oh, so they keep spare clutch levers and turn signal lenses around for that?
Yeah, and while I was there, I bought the engine guard, you know, just because.
It seemed like a useful thing to have.
Still think the side cases would have helped hold the bike upright more, but, you know, engine guards, yeah, probably a good idea.
Are you going to do Pelicans on that bike?
Eventually, yeah. I just can't afford them right now.
Yeah. Well, you've got that. Was a brand spanking new bike.
Yeah, thanks, dude. Lots of love to you.
Why are you blaming me, man? I didn't push you over.
Now it's real, you know?
Yeah, now it's a real bike. But
now it's adventure.
But, you know, the audience needs to realize that, you know, riding with you, if they're a noob, they get hurt. And if they're not, their bike gets broken.
There seems to be a trend.
Yeah, yeah.
I am bad luck. People won't be riding with me anymore.
Yeah, my hope was, you know, if a bike was hurt, it would be Todd's, but it wasn't.
The Strom cannot be hurt.
If the Strom got hurt, how would you know?
Exactly. Hence, the Strom can't be hurt.
And the Buell's just sick on the inside.
I'm curious about your experience with the Elk.
Yeah, you know, why'd you keep calling me?
That's it right there. Why were you calling on Chuck for help? I mean, I can think of few people less useful in case of animal attack in the world.
Well, I just sort of thought that if I was going to die, I wanted someone awake with me.
Why me?
Because you were right next to me. What am I going to do? Yell for Todd down beyond the picnic bench there?
Down where the elk were already eating people?
Maybe the bull elk would go for you and, you know, chase you down the road, and then Todd and I'd be safe.
You can't outrun an elk. I don't have to outrun an elk. I have to outrun you.
Let me assure you, he wouldn't chase me down the road. He chased me about 2 or 3 feet.
Tired.
Sleepy.
Just bend over and take it like the man you are.
Sleepy. No, I think that's my theory for what happened to the Buell.
Yeah.
It got molested by the bull elk.
That could be.
That's what it was backfiring on. That's what was fouling up the intake.
Places to go with this.
Elk did horrible, horrible things to the Buell.
That's what's wrong with it. They had to cough all that stuff up.
Buell Ulysses, loved by elk.
Really loved by elk.
Loved by elk.
That's why I kept bugling. That's why I even came into our camp. It followed the smell.
I'm really rethinking this ride with you thing here now, you know?
You're not the only one. Charlie says he refuses to ride with me now because I'm obviously bad luck for the English.
Well, I can definitely, you know, tell your audience that it was a privilege to ride with the Will Nerds for a day and a half.
As opposed to 3 days.
Not that there's any guilt that should be, you know, on a particular person's shoulders.
Well, you know, he accused us of basically plotting this whole thing out just to break his bike.
Really? That's an awful lot of work for a turn signal lens.
Todd heard it, and when Todd pulled up to me, he saw it die. Todd can vouch that this bike was sick.
Yeah, but
right?
did Todd see your thumb venture over the engine cutoff switch to mimic the bike dying?
No.
You gotta be more convincing when you say it.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. I don't know. I'm starting to wonder about Claire's conspiracy. This is the Grand Chuck conspiracy.
To break Claire's bike?
Well, you know, I actually found Claire here in Chuck's house. I discovered this secret back room he's got behind this poster that isn't real. This little door. And then in the back room, he's got a whole bunch of pictures with pieces of yarn connecting to each other and little, like, tack pins and stuff. And there's a picture of a Tiger turn signal lens and a clutch lever. And there's a pin outside Tori.
That sounds really creepy. Yeah. I thought you were going to describe my porn stash.
Now everybody knows about that.
Wait until Durango next year. I'm slashing your tires.
I'm thinking the whole Durango group is going to just shy away from you.
Oh, crisis check! Back away! So back away!
There'll be the warp speed group, the touring group, the cruiser group, and the Chuck group. And it'll just be me.
A group of one? What?
Yep, it'll just be me.
Well, guys, thanks for inviting me to be part of this and for having me on tonight.
Absolutely.
Thanks,
Larry. Later, man.
Take
See
it easy.
Ya.
So, listener mail. I'm tired of reading stuff from Harry. You do this.
So our frequent ham, Harry C., writes, "The mistake we make when teaching new riders is being too nice. After all, most things taught to us when we're young are prefaced with, 'you dumb little bastard,' or 'hey, shithead,' comma. Having said that, don't ride with your toes pointed to the street like a gay ballet dancer. Doing so looks ridiculous and places your feet in harm's way. If you should hit something in the roadway with your toes, being 2 inches away from the surface, it'll tend to wrap your foot around the peg. Thank you."
This sounds like a personal story.
This doesn't sound entirely hypothetical, Harry.
I want to know what you were doing.
Well, apparently, Harry forgot that he's supposed to keep the balls of his feet on the pegs.
Pro tip from the rider coach.
Yes, indeed. Keep the balls of your feet on the pegs. That will help you when you go around corners. If you're on a cruiser, that's not entirely true. You generally put the arches on.
And you might want to see a therapist about your family life. That's That sounds like a very scarring issue. Okay, Peter. Peter had written to us previously about trying to get the motorcycle cleaner chick out to clean his motorcycle.
A lingerie motorcycle cleaner?
Yes. And he's finally gotten back to us after being silent for a few weeks and making me think he was dead and buried in a shallow grave.
They only answered him long enough to rob him.
Yeah, it was probably a bad idea that he sent a picture of himself wearing handlebars and a shirt that said, "I'm a bike."
That was probably over the top.
Yeah. So anyways, he hasn't heard back from the cleaner yet. He's still trying to get some response from her.
So, disturbingly and disappointingly to all of our listeners, the cleaner chick may not be real.
Damn it. Yeah, see, I said it. Angry boyfriend. Angry ex-boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
But he does send us somebody else's badass adventure coffee picture for our contest. You can't win that way, Peter.
No. We'll give honorable mention there. Nice job.
Yep.
But I guess this is from Captain Beardy Locks.
Yep.
We'll put this one up. This one's pretty darn funny.
Yep.
On which note, we have a winner.
We do.
Of the Adventure Starbucks contest.
Yes.
So this is a strong winner who came in early. We put the two pics of Heather and her bike up. We remain impressed that she could get the bike there at all.
Yeah, right up to the counter to have her coffee. How cool is that?
Yeah. I'm told by Charlie, one of our contributors, that there was a lot of swearing and shoving and moving of things in there to get the bike where it is.
Man, I wish they had videotaped that.
Yeah, that would be quality.
Well, congratulations, Heather. We're going to send you something for your ass.
Yep.
And you have to send us pictures of you using it.
I'm not so sure I actually want those. My question, though, is the toilet paper in it any good?
Probably not. It looked like single-ply stuff.
Oh, gross. Like the kind like they have in like schools and like crappy like public restrooms?
Jail.
Oh.
Baby wipe, kids. That's your pro tip.
Baby wipes, pro tip.
But yeah, Heather, congratulations. You'll be getting your adventure
toilet paper.
Soon.
Use it with pride. Display it. Put it somewhere prominent in your house for everyone to enjoy.
Just hang it up there in the bathroom. Mark it for guests. All right. And we got a listener who writes us, Ronnie. He started a new website for adventure rides.
Yeah, this is kind of neat.
Purpose is to give ideas for riders starting to plan out rides, not to do actual ride reports and take all the fun out of it planning-wise. You're not reading the ride reports. This is like get ideas where to go, what to see. It's really kind of similar, it seemed to me, to what Twistipedia is doing.
Yeah, not too dissimilar.
But more focused on the adventure stuff.
Yeah, so go see something nifty off-road.
Right, someplace you can go where the Buell can die right by the side of a road.
Like an old mining town. That one reminded me of Gold Hill. I was tempted to go put – I should go put Gold Hill on there.
You know what he really needs on this site?
What would the adventure group be interested in, Chuck?
What the adventure writer really, really needs is a nationwide map of all the Starbucks.
Sponsored by Starbucks. I'm not thinking Starbucks would get behind that.
Charlie sent that picture of the Starbucks logo with the Love by GS writers everywhere.
Yeah.
See, this is ribbing of the whole adventure writer thing, not what the other guy was
and
doing.
They're dicks. And they took my lunch money.
Douchebags.
There's guys on adventure bikes that die outside Tori. Oh, wait.
Shut up.
I'd just like to point out, by the way, that the shittiest bike on that trip had no problems whatsoever at any point on the entire trip.
Yeah, yeah.
The bike with the bad gear position sensor and all the dings on it and fucking schmutz everywhere on it.
Yes.
Stickers that aren't sticking anymore.
We've got one more letter. Munch, okay. Read it.
Joe writes, "Dear Wheel Nerds, have you considered replacing the current hosts entirely with Sophie and Fake Todd? I think this would benefit the program greatly."
I sort of consider part of that.
Wait a minute.
What?
At the time we're recording this, the Fake Todd episode hasn't gone yet. Chuck?
What? It says Joe.
I don't believe it's really Joe.
If I had written it, I would surely have put something in there about Team Chuck.
Uh-huh.
What?
Maybe that's just part of your plans within plans.
Why am I all of a sudden the world's greatest
fake
schemer?
Joe? Fake Joe is going to call. He's going to come in later, and then he's going to declare Team Chuck.
Why am I suddenly the world's greatest schemer? I plotted to break Claire's bike. Now I'm plotting this.
It's a goddamn Chuck conspiracy, folks. Don't be fooled. Chuck is behind it. It was Chuck all along.
If only it had
wheels
been.
Within wheels.
If only it had been for you damned kids. Old man Chuck at the amusement park.
It's going to take a couple of FBI agents, many, many rambling episodes to unsnarl your poorly defined plan.
As long as one of them is a hot redhead.
Fair enough.
Todd, what have you learned?
I've learned that you're behind everything, Chuck.
I've learned that elk like to fuck bulls.
All right, well, that's all we've got time for. Until next time, I'm Todd.
And I'm Chuck.
Ride safe, everyone.
We'll see you next week.
If you like this podcast, you can find more like it at wheelnerds.com. This has been a Wheel Nerds production, all rights reserved. Readings from other sources are the property of their respective owners and are used with satirical intent.